everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always glad that you join us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Great to be here once again this weekend. And I can say this, I'm glad it's the weekend.
The weekend.
Ugh, so many of us feel stressed from the work week, and we're happy for some time to just kick back and relax. Let me ask you this. Have you ever said, help, I'm stressed out?
Or like every day.
Right. Yeah. Or I really need a break. Or I can't handle one more thing that's going to go wrong today.
Well, the ones I'm thinking of are, how about the kids are driving me crazy?
Right.
Or I feel like I'm going crazy. I remember when I had young kids, Chris, I used to just think, can I just get a shower?
Right.
That was my goal in life.
And see, now, I don't think men say that so much, but Sharon sometimes says, just let me take a shower.
Yeah.
Keep the kids for a half an hour.
And even just go to the bathroom by yourself, which just sounds really bad. But, you know, stress, that's the topic of our show. We're going to talk about it. We all have it. But we have to learn to manage it, and we have to learn to manage it both from a physical perspective, from a mental perspective, and a spiritual one as well. So stress, that's the topic of the show. We've all got it, but stress management is very important to our mental, to our physical, and to our spiritual lives. And so stress can impact our lives in very negative ways if we don't learn to manage it well.
That's right. And Dr. Linda, you wrote a book titled Breaking Free from Stress. And in this book, it's part of your Breaking Free series. It's a pocket size. As a matter of fact, there's a copy right now.
I can't see it. It's radio.
It's very nice. Yeah. It's inexpensive, but loaded with helpful tips to help manage stress. I give it 2 thumbs up, especially since it's short and easy to read. And much of our conversation today will be from that book.
You know, I've mentioned that series before, that Breaking Free series, but again, the little booklets in there are so helpful and good. And so this is one we are going to take a lot of the material. So if you forget things, you can go get that little book. It's the price of less than a Venti Starbucks.
Mm.
Yeah. So
it's
worth the read right there.
And you can order it on Amazon or go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. For the link. Well, let's get started on today's program on becoming great stress managers before we run out of time and I start getting stressed
out. That's right. Let's get to it. So all of us can relate. We've already said that. We all feel overwhelmed sometimes. And a lot of times, though, we get exhausted from stress. Do you find that? I find that to be, I just get like tired. Like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to move. And if you are listening to this and you're saying, oh, I've never experienced stress, I want you right now, check your pulse. You're probably not alive.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm alive, but sometimes stress makes me feel drained and even paralyzed. It makes you just feel like you can't move. I think that's because some types of stress simply just don't go away.
And so that's a really good point, Chris, because there's a difference between acute stress and chronic stress. So acute stress is just the kind of thing that comes and goes. It's
right.
Like when you take a test or you have to give a speech or maybe you have to plan a wedding that can go on a little long, but
right.
It's something that comes and goes, right?
Mm.
But chronic stress is stress that lingers around and it basically wears us down if we don't know how to manage that. And a lot of us do have chronic stress in our life and we do have to learn to manage it.
Well, let's do this. People have heard of Hollywood's best dressed list. But in your book, you have Dr. Linda's best stress list.
I do.
And this is a list you don't want to be on, of course.
Right.
But let's hear how to make the list.
Okay, so here are the top 10 contenders. We'll do it like, we should have like a drum roll like they did on the Tonight Show where they used to go,
right.
The top 10. So here's number one in our list. Drink as much alcohol as you can to numb out and avoid life.
Oh, wow.
That'll stress you if you do that.
Well, you could use drugs, number two, even illegal ones to escape life's problems.
Yeah, so drugs and alcohol, not a great way to deal with stress, right?
No.
Number three is run down your body in every way possible. Eat lots of fast food, stay up late at night, sit around, and just basically vegetate.
Number four, get yourself into huge financial trouble. Use your credit cards and spend wildly and impulsively. If you like it, just buy it.
There you go. That'll put a little stress in your life.
Wow.
How about number five? Whenever there is bad news, assume you'll be the next victim. Think about it. Worry about it. Fill your mind with the tragedies of the nightly news.
Mm, wow. Number six, become a regular complainer and criticize everything in sight. And make sure you don't let anyone's mistakes pass. Yell, scream, and shout, no mercy.
Number seven, be a victim of everything and everyone. Make sure you pass around blame as much as you can. Believe you're never at fault for anything.
Mm, wow. Number eight, never make a decision. Since you might make a mistake, don't decide anything. Waver and agonize.
And number 9 is read into everyone's behavior. They probably don't like you. They're probably trying to compete with you, and they want you out of the picture. So just live your life in paranoia.
Right. Now, do I get to finish with number 10?
Yeah, let's drum roll. Here we go.
Number 10, stay away from happy people. They could rub off on you and cause you to cheer up. You have too much to feel bad about and don't need anyone disrupting your happy flow.
So if you make that list, it won't be too long until you're going to really feel stressed out.
Wow.
So those are a lot of things that people like us do. And they lead to a lot of stress. So it's time to make a few changes if you find yourself on the best stressed list.
Well, one reason you don't want to make the best stressed list is because, ready for this, 43% of us suffer from health effects related to stress, and 70 to 90% of physicians' visits are stress-related. So you might be headed to the doctor. I had no idea that many people went to the doctor because of stress.
It's a wide range, 70 to 90, but it is a significant thing that a lot of times when people go. So think about it. If you're doing a lot of these behaviors we just talked about, you're worrying, you're drinking, you're constantly in financial difficulty, all these things, it's going to affect your physical health.
Right.
And it may take you right to the doctor. But it's important to understand that stress is linked to the leading causes of death, heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents. Think about it. You're stressed out. People get in accidents more often.
Right.
Cirrhosis of the liver, which would be related to that alcohol, and suicide even. So it's not always a good idea to let stress go without doing something about it. And what we don't think about, Chris, is that even positive stress. Now, think about it. We don't ever think of stress as being positive, do we? It can be positive, though. So like planning a wedding. I don't know if you haven't done that, but it's very stressful when you plan a wedding.
You didn't know I was a wedding planner on the side?
I did not know. Is that one of your other careers that we didn't know about?
Yeah.
But things like having a baby, great thing. Now, you've been a little experienced at that, right?
We've done that, isn't it
stress?
It is, yes.
It's stress. Mm-hmm. So we don't think that even though there's stress that's negative, there's also positive stress. So we've got to do some things that are going to handle both that positive and negative stress.
Well, Dr. Linda, have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, stress happens?
I have seen that on somebody. So they're stressed out if
they
have that bumper sticker, right?
It's definitely a true comment, but it's because there are so many kinds of stress.
I know. So again, we were kind of mentioning the positive and negative stress, but I think one of the ones that really we don't think about because we just are in the process of change. Change is stressful.
Right.
If you've ever changed jobs, changed your location, changed your house, anytime there's a change, even kids going from grade school to middle school, it's a big change. And when we make changes or we have things in our environment that change, maybe our work conditions are bad or there's problems in the place we live, all of that can be very stressful. Even the developmental changes of kids, you kind of feel like, I just got this figured out with my kid. And then they go ahead and they turn another age.
They turn into teenagers.
You have to do something. And one of the stresses that a lot of people listening are dealing with, Chris, is taking care of elderly parents. Sometimes even just our perceptions of life can make us be in stress.
Well, Dr. Linda, you say in your book, Breaking Free from Stress, that the most important help for stress is having resources. And we definitely want to hear more about those resources and ways to manage stress. And we will after the break. So stay with us.
From the moment we're born, we're in relationship. At first, we depend on others to take care of us, to meet all of our needs. Then as we grow older, we make friends, we meet school teachers, later a boss at work, and a spouse at home. Every relationship is important. Every relationship requires cultivation and nurturing. And at some point or another, every relationship has its challenges, and they revolve around conflict. Did you know that you can grow through conflict and become such a healthier you than you ever expected? Well, I want to help you look at conflict in new ways, to approach conflict in ways that work. My book, We Need to Talk, can help you become a better problem solver, learn to negotiate differences, and strengthen all relationships even when conflict seems destructive. Well, let's face it, conflict is an unavoidable part of our everyday life. But conflict doesn't have to overwhelm you or destroy your relationships.
We Need to Talk, an important book by Dr. Linda Mental, is written to help you successfully navigate conflict. Find We Need to Talk wherever you buy books online. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. This weekend, we're talking about her book, Breaking Free from Stress. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. Today's topic is breaking free from stress, and we've got a lot more to talk about and some more helpful strategies. And if you need more help with today's topic, you can get her book, Breaking Free from Stress. And Dr. Linda, one of the things I really like about your writing is that there's always practical help. And I would imagine the first step to break free from stress is to identify what is stressing you out and not just sit and feel immobilized.
Right. So you got to think about what is it? What is the stress? And a lot of people have heard about the stress scale. Have you ever taken one of those stress scales?
Never have.
It's called the Holmes and Ray. It's very well known. Mm-hmm. It lists a bunch of things that could be stressing you out, and it assigns points. And at the end, when you add up your points, if it's a really high score, then you're really in trouble.
Wow.
You need to get some help. But the number one, I don't know if you could, can you guess what the number one stress in a person's life could be?
Finances?
No, it's in there. That's in there. The number one is death of a spouse.
Oh, well.
That
okay.
gets 100 points on
right.
the scale. That's like a biggie. And then the second one, I don't think people would be surprised by this, is divorce, followed by marital separation. Number four is jail term. Death of a close family member, a personal illness, injury, marriage. Marriage is a stress. It's on there. It's pretty high up in the scale.
Yeah.
Getting fired from work. There's a lot of these. Pregnancy, additions to families, business readjustment, change in financial status. It goes on and on. Troubles with the in-laws is on that list. Trouble with your boss. And then there's a whole bunch of these that are related to change. Change in religious activities, recreational habits, school. So remember I said change?
Mm-hmm.
Change is a huge stress for people. So it's just good to start thinking, what's going on in my life? What's changing? What's different? What are the things that I can identify that really create stress?
So based on that scale, what score would make someone stressed out? 400, 500?
Or? Well, it tells you the scoring. It's like if you get less than 150, you're okay. It gives you the score if you take that test. I think you can probably even, you might even be able to take that on the internet. I'm not sure. It's the Holmes and Ray. It's in Breaking Free from Stress, and you can take it, and then you can add it up your scores.
Right. Dr. Linda, you suggest writing a list, then doing a few more things.
So once you identify it, so it's a good idea to put it on a list. That's a good idea. But then look at your list and say, is it acute, something that's just going to come and go, or is it chronic? Because remember, we said if it's chronic, it's going to be more problematic. Second thing I would look at and say, is this a major issue in my life, or is it kind of a minor thing? Because I know I do better when it's a minor thing. Sometimes I can just even let it go.
Yeah.
I know we need frozen music whenever I say that word.
You do say let it go.
Let it go.
A lot.
Let it go. Right. And then the third thing is it predictable or is it unpredictable? Because if you're like me, when stress is unpredictable, I have a harder time with it than when I know it's coming. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. When you can plan and be ready and have a little control,
it's
not as bad.
Yeah. So if you look for those three things, if it's major, if it's chronic, and it's unpredictable, that's the most difficult one that you're going to deal with in terms of stress. And you could be tapping out those resources that we're going to talk about to handle that stress.
Well, now that we know what and how much stress bothers us, what's next? How does lifestyle play into this?
So lifestyle is a huge help to managing stress, or it can be a real hindrance depending on what you're doing in your lifestyle. So let's go through five basic lifestyle questions. So as you're listening to us, think in each of these areas, do a self-assessment and see how you're doing, because that's going to tell you a lot about how you manage stress. So the first question, Chris, is, do you have effective ways to relax?
That sort of goes back to the best stressed list that we mentioned in the first segment. If you're medicating in any way to relax, I would guess that's a problem.
Yeah, because you're just avoiding. You're just numbing yourself out. And then with a lot of types of medications, you can get addicted, like alcohol and chronic pain, drugs and those kind of things. So you don't want to be medicating. You want to think of some healthy ways. Maybe take a walk, listen to music, laughter. Humor is one of the best ways that you can relax. And if you don't have a lot of time, you know, you can think of some really easy things that you can do in the car. Maybe put on a funny tape. We don't have tapes in cars anymore, do we? I just dated myself.
What about relaxation techniques? I've seen the Lamaze breathing at work.
Yeah.
It's amazing how effective that is. Does that work with stress in general?
It does. And deep breathing is a really good one to do, where you're just really literally, if we were to do it right now, if we just take a deep breath, and we really inhale and we hold that breath for a few minutes and then we blow it out and exhale. If you're really stressed and you do just three big deep breaths like that, It's going to make your physical body relax.
It also cures the hiccups, too, I found.
It's
the only thing
that
works, yes.
Deep breathing.
Every time,
for hiccups.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try that next time.
Right.
There's one called deep muscle relaxation. Have you ever done that?
Yes. Start at your feet and work your way up your body. And next thing you know, you wake up in the morning relaxed. Yeah.
So you're tensing. What you're doing is you're tensing muscles in your body.
Right.
And then you're relaxing them. And you're tensing and relaxing them. And what you're doing with that is you're really teaching your body, this is what tension feels like. And then you can cue yourself and go, relax, and your body will start to relax. Because a lot of us walk around and we're really tense and we're not even aware of it.
Right.
And if I look at you and I go, you look tense, hey, Chris, relax. And you know how to just kind of, let down your body, you can do that.
Well, the next lifestyle question is, do you exercise? And Dr. Linda, anyone who listens to this show knows how many times that you bring up exercise as the cure or even a help of so many health and mental issues.
I know, because it's so important. It really does work as a free thing that you can do that will keep you a lot of times out of the doctor's office.
Wow.
So I know it's hard. I sit at a desk all day long, and I have to force myself to get up and walk around. Remember that show we did a few years ago, maybe it was a year ago, called Sitting is the New Smoking?
Right, yes.
Yeah, it's really bad to just sit all day. So the recommendation is 150 minutes a week. Do you get close to that?
Nope.
I don't either. So I've got to do better. And they say if you just break it up and you do 10-minute segments during your day, you can get to that point. So look at that one if you're stressed out.
The next one has to do with what we eat. Stress, it makes stress worse or better, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so that was on the best stress list, right? Eating a lot of junk food, empty calories. And again, most of you know, listening to this, when you do that, you feel more tired, you feel bad, you get irritable. Or if you're like me and sometimes you just drink too much coffee in the morning, it kind of can trigger anxiety and makes the stress worse. So skipping meals can make people irritable and edgy.
Right.
That can sometimes do it for people, especially if your blood sugar goes low. So make a few changes. Just eliminate some refined sugar and some processed foods. I would say cut back on the caffeine. And if you're drinking, cut back on that alcohol because it's not helping you. And really stop smoking. That's a big thing you can do for your health because anxiety goes way down. Stress goes way down when you stop smoking, although it's stressful to stop smoking.
Right. Well, number four on the list is time management. And I can get stressed out when I let things just pile up, then you have to get it all done at one time.
A lot of times you have to learn to speed up on some tasks or slow it down on some times. And I think things that help with that is prioritize your tasks every day, set a couple of goals that are reasonable, learn to say no to a lot of things that you shouldn't be taking on. I'm really bad at that. Look at your social support. That's one of your biggest resources. Are there people in your life that can support you, can lift you up, can pray for you? And then spend some time in prayer and worship. That's going to make the biggest difference in your life in terms of your time management.
The last lifestyle stress helper is sleep. On another show, we talked about the importance of sleep. It affects many areas of our lives.
I love that show. We talked about sleep and relationships. Remember that?
It made me fall asleep. It was a great show.
It did not. It woke you up to the relationship issues that are going on when you don't get sleep. But again, sleep is one of those areas where if you don't get that 7 to 8 hours, for kids, 10 hours recommended, you're going to find yourself cranky and way more problematic when it comes to handling your stress. So those five areas, if we can just recap this, find ways to relax. That's really important in stress reduction. Exercise, eating better, managing your time, and then getting enough sleep. And if you start with those, I promise you, you're going to do way better with stress relief.
All right. Well, Dr. Linda has given us five lifestyle areas to assess and make changes in order to reduce stress. But if stress is more a mental thing for you, we'll talk about that after the break. Stay with us.
Are your priorities all out of line? Are you running through the kitchen because the sight of dishes in the sink is more than you can bear? Or avoiding the laundry room for fear a pile of dirty jeans will jump up and grab you? Are extra hours spent at work or outside commitments taking a toll on your home and family? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor. And if this sounds anything like your house, you may have a priority problem. Getting your priorities in line might feel like trying to rein in a bucking bronco, but it can be done. Here are a few keys. Take small steps. Don't try to attack laundry and housekeeping all at once. Spread the work out and enlist the help of family members. And don't put things off. Piling another dish and a cup in the sink won't help. Instead, try and stay ahead by handling cleaning up more regularly. Look, we all have occasions when we have to hurry off and leave a job or two undone. But if this is your habit, you may need a priority adjustment. And you can do it one step at a time.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And just a reminder to go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, where you will find links to her social media and books. And today, if you're thinking, I want those strategies she's talking about and those scriptures she is mentioning, you can order Breaking Free from Stress, a small book packed with big help. Dr. Linda, before the break, we talked about lifestyle changes that can help us manage stress. But what about those of us who carry stress in our head because of our thoughts?
So one of the strategies is to take thoughts captive.
I get the idea, but how does that actually work? How do you wrangle those thoughts in your head that just run wild all day and make you crazy?
Yeah, it's a cognitive strategy. It's one of the ways that we're going to deal with our thoughts that are worrisome, that are problematic, and we're just going to grab those thoughts, which means we're going to identify the thoughts, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to say, okay, is that a thought that lines up with God's word, or is that a thought that's taking me into worried waters?
Would it help to, like you said earlier, write this down?
Some people it does. Some people can think of that in their head because they're always in their head. But if you say, what is my thought right now? You could write it down and say, my thought is, oh, this isn't going to work out well. Mm-hmm. That's a thought I got to grab. I got to take it and I've got to confine it. That's what captivity is, confining that thought, not letting it wander into worry waters. So when you do that, and that's a biblical concept, and in Philippians 4:8, it directs us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and here's the prescription, think about such things.
Right. This doesn't mean that we don't think about our problems. Rather, you're talking about how we can think about our stress.
Right. We have to sort of do our part in eliminating stress. But when the stress is on us and we're in the middle of it and we've done everything that we can do, we have to stand in the promises of God and then rehearse those promises in our mind. He's our greatest resource. He's available all the time. Think about it. There's a never-ending supply, right?
Right.
With God. And he's full of power. So we've got power and supply.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I thought of the word power when you said that. This is more than just positive thinking. This is thinking positive because of who God is, his promise to us, and what he can do. Now, there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah. So this is one of the reasons that God reminds us to constantly remember everything he's done in the past. When we think about how God's power has been acted out in our lives, and all of us can think of something.
Right.
You can think of a time in the past where God really came through for you, where he helped you, where he got you through a difficult time.
Right.
All of that, when we start to think about it, we begin to rely on God again, and we think his strength is perfect. God is my everlasting source of power, and he's always with me. That should help us as a great resource when we're dealing with stress.
I think the hardest part is in this is waiting on the Lord.
I know. And often he's working behind the scenes. We don't always see what's going on, and we can't really even imagine what God's up to a lot of times. But if we truly believe that he has our back and he has our best for us, it's easier to wait. Now, I don't think it's ever easy to wait.
No.
But
no.
It's easier when I think, okay, God, you're in this. You're working this. I may not see what you're doing, but I'm going to choose to believe you. And often, he refines us during the difficulty, even though that's not easy to deal with.
I wish there were other ways to be refined instead of through fire.
I know, right?
No.
Right? Why don't we just get it right the first time?
I suppose reminding ourselves that we live in a fallen world and that God hasn't left us to deal with these things alone. That helps.
You can always draw closer to God during a stressful time. And I think a lot of times that is what happens to us. I know in my own life, when I'm stressed, I tend to rely on God better.
Right.
And more often and talk to him a little bit more. God tells us we can cry out to him. We can cast our cares on him. So if you're trying to medicate your way through stress using a vice like alcohol or shopping or gaming or some other method, you're probably not drawing closer to God. You're just numbing and escaping. So let's go back to that biblical prescription that we read in Philippians 4, and let's look at that prescription a little more specifically, Chris. The first thing it says in that little bit of the chapter, thank God, not for the stress. Don't thank him for the stress, right? You don't want to go, thanks God for this lovely thing I'm going through. Right. Rather, you're going to say, thank God for his active participation in your life and his power, like we've been talking about, to intervene. The second thing in that scripture says, talk to God through prayer and then tell him your request. Mm. And then finally, as we read, meditate on good things to bring peace to our minds. This is what the renewing of the mind is all about. It's not living in denial of problems or stress, but renewing the mind with God's truth. So I think the biblical story of Joseph is an encouragement to anyone that is listening to this that's going through a stressful time. Let's think about his life. He was the favorite son, but then he was sold into slavery by his envious brother, so he had family problems, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was dragged to Egypt out of his homeland, that's a big change, to serve Potiphar. Just when things were going well, Potiphar's wife is rebuffed sexually, and this honorable man is now thrown into prison, so he's falsely accused. He spends years serving a sentence he didn't deserve. Finally, he has a chance. He's summoned to interpret two dreams, and God reveals the meaning, and he finally, eventually, gets out of jail after a long period of waiting, and he's put in charge. And then he prepares Egypt for 7 years of famine, and then he faces his brothers, whose fate is in his hands, those people that have betrayed him.
Right, and the most incredible part of this entire story is Joseph's response to all of this.
Right, and Genesis 39:21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. What was meant for evil, God meant for good." So he overcame under stress, and he didn't give up. He didn't blame God. He knew God's promises to him, and he was delivered, not in the way he planned, but in God's way.
It is a fantastic story. But let's end with this prayer from your book and a great verse to remind us of how to stay in that peace.
Lord, help me to persevere through difficulty, never forgetting your hand is on my life. I don't always understand why things happen, but I do trust you to direct my paths and walk through any valley with me. You are my comfort and source of peace. Thank you. Amen. And from Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So don't stress. Stay in peace. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.